Hey everyone, you are listening to Magic Key Adventures, a podcast highlighting me and Emily's trips to Disneyland. I am Steph.
And I am Emily. Welcome to episode 31.
Yay! Yes, welcome everyone and welcome Emily. I'm so excited you're joining me. Hopefully all of our listeners follow Magic Key Adventures on Instagram because we did announce Emily would be joining the podcast on there. And then this whole week we have been sharing fun facts, but just in case you aren't following us, hint, hint, maybe you should. And since this is your first episode, Emily, let's get to know you. Tell the audience all about you.
So I'm originally from Southern California, not very far from where you grew up. And then now I currently reside in Arizona. I've been here for 13 years now. And you can usually find me at Disneyland. Sometimes I'm at Walt Disney World, usually once a year at least. I am a DVC member and our home resort is the Polynesian and Old Key West. Those are amazing resorts if you've ever been to one. And then I've been on 7 Disney cruises and I've done all the ships so far until The Treasure comes out later on this year. And I'm currently a travel planner for concierge and help people plan their Disney vacations and Universal vacations.
That is so cool. Well, you're definitely well-versed in all things Disney. Plus, I know you are a Magic Key holder just like me, which is why you're a great co-host because we can both talk about our Magic Key adventures. So just for fun, I am going to ask Emily a couple of questions. These are not pre-rehearsed, so she's answering them live if you want to say. So Emily, my first question is, what is your favorite DVC perk?
So I think with DVC, the perks are just, you know, the hotels. You get to stay at these deluxe villas. Mm-hmm. And if you really look at the pricing for these villas, they're on the higher end. And you're able to go sometimes, some people go once a year, they go twice a year, just depending on how many points they have. And just seeing each one. So each resort has a unique layout to it. They have just, you know, like the Poly, it's Hawaiian style themed. Even when you, as you walk in, it smells wonderful. Old Key. Yeah. And then Old Key West. That's my other one. I really like that one and Animal Kingdom. Those are my two favorites. Old Key West just has this layback vibe that's like Key West, Florida. It's just easy to walk around. It's this huge resort. It's right by the water. You can get to Disney Springs. You can get to just a lot of different things from that resort. And then Animal Kingdom, it's near and dear to my heart. I love that resort. Just being able to walk outside and seeing all the animals, you see the giraffes and the zebras and eating at Sanaa. Gosh. That's like one of my favorites. So cool. It's just unique. That lobby is very unique. It's beautiful. I highly recommend for people to just even go there if they're not going to stay at the resort, if it's out of their budget, to just go and look at the lobby, make a reservation, sit there at Sanaa, ask for a table near the windows so you can see the animals, and it's just a wonderful experience.
That is so cool. I mean, I definitely want to get back to Disney World sometime soon, so hopefully you can help me plan a vacation sometime soon.
Yes, I would love to.
Okay, so my next question is, have you ever done a VIP tour?
No, I have not. that's something that I would love to do. Yes, it's definitely a bucket list. It looks fun. Yes. We need to get like a big group together to do it. I think for that would be great. Yes. To do a VIP tour and just all the accessibility that you have with it. And then just being with a plaid, I think it's so fun. It makes you feel important.
I know. And they're so knowledgeable. Can you imagine unlocking all those like little Disney history and things that they know? That'd be so cool.
Yes. Yeah, that would be so much fun.
Okay. Last question. And then you'll be off the spotlight, and I'll leave you alone. what is your favorite Disney park memory?
So, a Disney park memory. Now you have me thinking. I have so many, but I think just seeing World of Color, I think for the first time when it first started, mm-hmm. And just the music and everything. I actually got teary. I cried. it was just amazing seeing that. I really, you know, Disneyland and California Adventure, I love, you know, those parks, and just seeing the World of Color and how they brought that out. And it was so unique and different from everything else and all the other shows that Disney had, and just the colors and the beauty and the music and the characters. It's just all your favorite characters rolled into one. And it was just amazing. I have not forgotten that the first time watching it. And then taking other family members mm-hmm. back to see it and seeing their faces and how much they loved it too, because it brought back a lot of wonderful memories.
That's so awesome. I like that. I remember my sister-in-law, Cheryl, she really loved that show. And it was a long time before I finally saw it, but the first one I saw was the holiday one, which okay. I thought was so neat. But then my second one that I ever got to see, I've never seen the original, actually. So I've seen the holiday, and then I've seen World of Color 1, and that one brought me to tears. I loved that one.
Yes. I think all of them are just really pretty, and everything that they bring into it is unique in each World of Color that they have. The only one I was not crazy about was the 60th one.
Oh, okay.
That one was okay. Mm-hmm. It was still beautiful, mm-hmm. but it wasn't like, you know, the original or some of the yeah. other ones that they've had. So I'm hoping, you know, they're having a big anniversary next year, Disneyland. Ooh, I can't wait to see what they're going to bring out for this anniversary.
Exactly. Okay, so we'll stop interrogating Emily, and you guys will just get to know her as she continues on as co-host. So, all right, Emily, this time let's jump into poll and question. And so I'm going to read the question, and maybe you could even answer it too if you didn't answer it. So the question was, if we started a Patreon, would you subscribe? And what benefits do you value most? How much would you be willing to pay for bonus content? So we only got one response, and that was from my beautiful niece, Michaela. She says, anything to support you. So, of course.
Oh, that's sweet of her.
I know. She's so sweet. But what do you think? Should we do a Patreon?
I think we should. I mean, there's a lot of benefits. We can add a little bonus stuff to having a Patreon. I know we've subscribed to a few because there's another few podcasts that we listen to. Mm-hmm. And so they have, you know, a lot of extra fun content. And so we can bring that too.
I definitely think so. Between the two of us, I think we have some great things to talk about. So for the poll, so this kind of just went along with my last episode, which Emily did listen to. And I was talking about our trip celebrating Cheryl and how we all had matching shirts and how people would kind of like talk to us or ask us questions. So I asked, when you see people at the parks with matching shirts, do you interact with them? And so the answers were absolutely and nah, not my thing. And so 67% said nah, not my thing, and 33% said absolutely. Emily, which one are you?
So if I could, I probably would have some matching shirts, mm-hmm. but my husband is not a fan of matching anything. He likes wearing all, he gets unique shirts mm-hmm. That are based, you know, with the parks. Like he has his Sunny Eclipse shirt. He actually supports another podcast, several podcasts. So he has the Sweet Spot shirt that mm-hmm. he wears, and just a few other ones. So he wants to be different from what I'm wearing. And then yeah. I'll support a few other Disney tees and sweaters. I'm actually wearing one right now. And so I try to support the other small businesses also.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so, but if you saw people in the parks wearing matching shirts, would you talk to them or tell them like, oh, hey, it's your family reunion. That's cool. Or,
you know, I don't really approach people too much. I mean, I think more I talk to cast members than I do like regular people, unless I really see a cool shirt or, you know, a backpack, or they have a purse that I really like, or, you know, something like that. Yeah. Then I'll probably possibly approach them, but I'm usually talking to cast members or asking them questions about, you know, what's going on in the park or what their, you know, what great food do they have or what insight do they have? So that's basically what I, when I talk to people.
Sounds good. Well, so in this episode, we are going to be recapping Emily's trip. She just recently got back from the parks. Actually, we both did. We went on separate weekends. She hit Food and Wine Festival the first weekend it was open, and I did the second weekend. So in this episode, we will talk to Emily about her weekend. And then in the next episode, we'll talk about mine. So Emily, take us away.
Okay, so we showed up on Friday and we stayed at the Hampton Inn and Suites in Anaheim Resort Convention Center. This has been our third stay at that resort and we really like it. It's a little bit farther from everything else. It's probably about 10-15 minute walk.
Is it still on Harbor or is it on Cotella?
I believe it's on, I could be wrong. I think it's on Harbor.
Okay.
Harbor.
It's just further back, like past the Clementine and stuff, or because I never know when they say convention, sometimes I think, you know, on Cotella, like all those hotels on Cotella.
Right.
And I'm like, because that's where the convention center is. But I forget about all of those ones behind it, and they probably include those as convention center hotels.
Yeah, it's on, let's see, it's on Cotella.
Oh, okay,
so
cool.
It's on Cotella, so it's on that one. It's what is, do you remember where the Blaze Pizza is at in the Hyatt? It's on that side. And actually, it's where the Toy Story parking is at. Okay, so it's just a little bit further from there. So that's,
perfect.
I'm like trying to remember. What did we walk by? Because we walked it every day.
Yeah.
And it was raining, so that was a fun experience.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So since you're walking from Cotella, then it's probably about like, 15 minutes? Because you have the lights. You have two lights that you have to at least get through. Or maybe three, depending.
I think you're right. I think it is about three lights.
Yeah.
It's closer to the Toy Story. And so I thought of actually, you know, getting a shuttle from the Toy Story parking lot and then making it there. But I'm like, no, don't be lazy. Just walk. So we ended up doing the Food and Wine Festival. We love this. We do this every single year. It's so exciting. We did it before they stopped doing it for a while when they were doing the whole expansion and changing California Adventure. I think we did one of the last ones. And so now when it came back, that was something that we weren't going to miss. And plus we get to go do Soaring Over California. That is my favorite one out of, you know, if I had to choose Soaring Over the World or Soaring Over California, it was Soaring California all the way. I love that one. So we got to do that. That was exciting. I wish we would have experienced the Clementines that they give you.
Oh, yeah. So you missed it?
We missed it. But I'm like, no, I need to do this. I am not going to miss this. and just the smell, it's just so much better. The graphics and everybody's clapping at the end of it because they're so happy that it's back. And Disney they need to just leave it.
Yes. Can we keep California and California and world can have world? I mean, it's not that far of a stretch. Like, why does Florida have California right now? I don't understand it.
Yeah, that's exactly what we're saying. I know my cousin, she's in Florida as a college in the college program. And so she's getting to enjoy soaring over California when it was going on. So yeah. She's just telling me about all her adventures going weekly she goes weekly to the different parks. She already had us set up today so that we can see every time she goes to each park. So she's got several reservations coming up in the week to go to the different parks. Nice. And like rub it in.
I know.
Yeah. So we did do California Adventure. And we did the Food and Wine Festival. So we tried a bunch of different foods. We got that Sip and Savor pass. We got 8 of them. It's really nice this year because it's digital. Mm-hmm. And so that's different. You don't have to take those little tabs off each one. I do. I think that was a great direction that they went, because you talked about it on one of your last episodes. Mm-hmm. That they were doing that digital pass. Mm-hmm. And we were going to wait and see what they were going to do for the Food and Wine Festival. And yep. They brought that in. And I feel like it's more seamless, right. With that. So I really like it.
That's awesome. Yeah, I really liked it too. And it's so funny because you have to put in your PIN number and you're like, what's my PIN number?
Right.
Like, you don't have to memorize it. It's right on your badge.
Yes, that made it easy. Okay, just flip it over and do it. So that is so nice. So if people are not used to this and they haven't done it, they made it much easier. You don't have to worry about tabs. And then they would make you stand in front of them, take it off right there. They would have to watch you and you would take each one off and you don't have to worry about all that.
Yeah.
So it's great. And then usually each cast member, as you order a new meal or a new little food item, they tell you, like, you have this many left. And then the next
that
one
was
too.
Cool. Yeah, I like that they were able to tell you that. And I think it was on your receipt too, where you mm-hmm. could see.
Yeah, you're right. It is on there.
What was your strategy? Did you order all at one booth, or did you go from booth to booth?
So we kind of split it up because I don't like to order too much, because then what if I get full and then I don't have room to finish it? I want to be able to enjoy each one. So we'll kind of order maybe like 2 items at a time and then kind of go from there. Perfect. So some of the ones that we hit, the first night we did the Cluck-a-Doodle Moo and we tried the cheese pizza flavored wings.
How was that?
You know, I really liked last year's wings. They had like a spicy, sweet and spicy kick to it. Uh-huh. It was a nice dry rub. I went home later on and I replicated them and I loved it. But this year's, it was just like a cheesy chicken wing. It was just different. I did like the dipping sauce. It was like a garlic type of dipping sauce of some sort. Uh-huh. It was really good. I liked that one. That dipping sauce to it, but the pizza flavor
was
just, it was more cheese. It wasn't even really pizza flavored.
I love cheese, but like on top of a chicken like that, I don't know. That kind of throws me off.
It did. I thought, let me try it. It's weird. It sounds weird, but let me try it. So it was different. You know, it's an acquired taste. Then there's the barbecue beef brisket slider. Mm. We did try that. I thought that was good. I liked it. I know you tried it, right?
Yeah, I tried that one. I think it was the sauce. There was like this sauce on there that I wasn't a fan of. And I'm such a picky eater anyway. I just kind of try to put it out of my mind that there was no sauce in it. And just ate it. Maybe that was it. I don't know.
Oh, no. Yeah. I enjoyed that one. That one I did enjoy. The other one we tried, we went to Peppers Caliente. That one is a chili relleno empanada. And that one was excellent. They had it last year. I'm glad they brought that one back. I am not a big chili relleno fan. It's not something that I would like order out of my way, but having it in an empanada, that cheese, the little chili pieces in there, it's delicious. I don't think it's that spicy. It has a little bit of a kick, but not too much. It's perfect. Now, I can tell you what was spicy. I tried I believe I'm pronouncing this right. It's the Cantarito style paloma. That one had a kick.
Really?
It was super, super spicy.
That's a drink, right?
Yes. Oh, that is the drink. And it was super spicy. I was like, I think I'm drinking just chili. It was like just a little too much. Yeah. So that one, I don't have it on the top of my list to order again. Mm. Then there was the shrimp papas locas. Those were really good.
That sounds
if
good.
You like the fishy, it was a little fishy. I had my husband try it and he is not a fish or seafood person at all. So he tried it and he goes, it wasn't bad. He goes, I thought they were good.
Yeah.
I go, I still don't think I would put it at the top of my list.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Yeah. It's still not, it's not there. Hmm. Another one we tried, we went to Garlic Kissed and we tried the grilled sirloin along with, favorite. Yes, that was good, right? It just
yeah.
everything
about. So I didn't try it this time, but I had it last time.
Mm-hmm. So that's another one that just came. It's coming back again. Mm-hmm. Along with the other one we tried at Delish was the carbonara garlic mac and cheese. And who doesn't love mac and cheese? It's delicious. Mm-hmm. It's just got that great flavor. So it was like a perfect combination together that we got to try. So I loved it. And then the first night, kind of backtracking, we did also try with the wings. Mm-hmm. I tried the cheeseburger bao bun thing.
Oh, the bao. Yeah, the cheeseburger bao.
Mm-hmm. The cheeseburger bao. That was good. I really liked it. I really liked it. So it reminds us of the ones that are in Animal Kingdom near Flight of Passage. Mm-hmm. They have it in the kids' menu meal. So we will order that when we go.
Oh.
We always usually order that when we're there and we're kind of doing like a quick service type of thing. They have a lot of fresh food and it's right there by Flight of Passage. We will order that one. We'll usually my husband and I will share one of those. We really love them. Then we, you know, it's just got a great flavor. So it's exactly like that. It feels like they just brought it over to California.
Yeah.
And then let's see. We tried the frozen mangoneada beer slush. I tried that. And my husband is a beer guy. So he had to have Russian River Brewing Company Blind Pig. It's an IPA. Mm-hmm. He loves their IPAs. They also are really well known for a beer called Pliny the Elder. And so he was like, if I can't get Pliny the Elder, Blind Pig is the next best thing. They have amazing beer. And so he picked that one up. Mm-hmm. And that was like a must on his list. He goes,
yeah,
I don't care where we're going, but that's the direction that I'm going and you can follow. So
was he happy with it?
Oh, yeah. He was so happy. Yeah. Oh, he goes, good. I can't get this anywhere. It's a California beer. So since we're in Arizona, we can't get it over here.
Oh, yeah. True.
Yeah. So that's when he's like, it's on my list. I have to get it.
That's so cool.
Yeah. And then I think I know you tried was at Earth Eats was the watermelon cucumber mojito.
I sure did.
And what'd you think of it?
So I really liked it as I had to mix it quite a bit, you know, just to make sure like all the flavors were mixed in. And as soon as I did that, I was able to get great flavor out of it. And then I was just eating the watermelon right after. It was a perfect little snack after I was done with my drink. I really did like it, though. It was really good.
So did I. I thought it was such a great, refreshing summer drink. That's something that you can drink right now in the spring and then all the way up into summer. Yeah. It's just so refreshing out of all the ones that I've had. The next one I tried was the spicy strawberry cocktail. Mm-hmm. And that one was a little more thicker. It was more of a thicker puree in there, the strawberries. It still had a good flavor, but it wasn't as refreshing as the watermelon cucumber mojito.
Because if it was more puree, then yeah, for sure.
It's like thicker. I still thought it was good. It was much sweeter than the watermelon one. So if you're not a big sweet person with your drinks, go back to that watermelon cucumber mojito. It's a lot more refresher. It's just lighter than the strawberry one. Mm-hmm. And then at that time when we were I was trying those two drinks. We decided to sit down, part of the food and wine festival. They have chefs there. So they had one of the chefs from Tiana's place, since they just opened that at Disneyland. So he was talking about how, now I can't remember exactly what he was making. It was something with beans. And so he was the executive chef, I believe. And then he had his assistant. They were on there and they were talking about how they started with just being like dishwashers, and then they moved their way up. He went to culinary school and stayed with Disney. And then he made his way up there. Now he's the chef for Tiana's.
That's so cool.
Yeah, so he was talking all about the food and doing a demonstration, and you could tell there was a lot of cast members there that were also in the same industry, and they were cheering him on. They had signs for him, so they really loved him. Aww. Now, if I can remember his name, let me take a look. I recorded it, so I could.
Where was this at? Like.
So it's in where LA Style is at and Earth Eats. It's by Mike and Sully's. They have that little area.
Oh, on the stage?
The stage right there.
Oh, wow.
That's where he was at.
That's so cool.
And they call him Chef Scooter.
That's
all
cute.
All of his people. Let's see. Mancino. Yeah. Scott Mancino, he's Disneyland Resort Chef de Cuisine. Yep. So he was the one that was there. So we got to see. So cool. Mm-hmm. So we used to do in the Food and Wine Festival, we used to see some celebrity chefs. So they had Robert Irvine one year. We got to see him. And then the other one was Guy Fieri. He was there. We got to see him for the Food and Wine Festival. We've done the wine tasting seminars. We've done the mixology seminars. We've done the beer seminars. They are so much fun. I recommend anyone to go and do one of those seminars, whatever you like. You know, if it's beer that you want to do, or a wine, or a mixology. They're really enjoyable, and sometimes they bring back some of your favorites. So I know they've had a few ones come back again, if you know, they're really popular.
Yeah. I think it's so cool that Food and Wine Fest isn't just those food booths. There's so much that goes on besides that. Like you said, these mixologies and then meeting the chefs. And then they even have like little shows. I never stopped to watch any of them, but they have little shows even for kids. Little baking demonstrations. It's so fun and so cute. So just be sure you're following all your favorite Disney, you know, Instagrammers, and be sure you're following Disney Parks, because that's how you find out all this information if you're not already privy to, you know, experience.
Yeah, unless you're like Dan and I, and we just kind of, you know, run into different things and we're just kind of roll with everything and just check it out. I mean, before we used to like plan it out, especially if we knew that there was like a chef that was coming. As soon as the dates come out and we know that they have like the mixology up and the wine and beer, we kind of try to plan our trips around it. We did see a few. We did a beer tasting last year, a beer seminar, and the mixology last year. But we have some other trips planned coming up. So we kind of had to put that, you know, second trip for the Food and Wine Festival on a weekend when they have the seminars. Kind of, you know, we just had to wait it out. Maybe next year we'll do a few of them.
Yeah. Yeah. Definitely want to try that next year.
Yes. Yeah. We need to plan one together. We can plan the same trip and do one.
Yeah.
Let's see. Oh, the other thing that we got to do. So we got to see, I'm going to butcher his name. It's Jared Mariama. He does really cutesy stuff. So he does the art, a lot of cutesy artwork. Mm-hmm. He did, It's a Small World. There's a Stitch one. I have a cute little Dumbo succulent by him. I've seen like backpacks with his stuff. So he's got a lot of cute stuff for Disney that he's done. And so he was there signing along with two other artists. One, I can't remember his name, but he does like graffiti art. And so right now you'll see his stuff and it's like a graffiti Mickey. That was really cool. And then if you're a Star Wars fan, like I know you guys are, they had Darth Vader and Grogu. He has that one. And then there was another artist too, and I can't remember his name. I mean, I have a picture of, let's see, of which ones.
I love when the artists come and they do signings. I wish I would have been there when Brett or Owen was there. I would love a signed Mickey.
Yes. Okay, so Jared was there, Shane Grammer, who does the graffiti art, and John Coulter, he was also there. He's John Coulter is a model. He was a previous model and now he does art. So he has nice artwork. But I was mainly there because I saw It's a Small World. I love that ride. There's so much history to that ride. The Mary Blair and everything in it. And so he has a very nice It's a Small World one. And so I got that signed and I have that up in my, on my house, on my wall now. So that was something that I really,
the audience can't see, but I'm actually wearing an It's a Small World t-shirt.
Oh, yes.
Yes. From Flying House Threads. That was the t-shirt that I was wearing. We were talking about It's a Small World the other day. And so I saw it in my closet. I'm like, I'm going to wear that today.
Yes. I mean, I just love that ride. I mean, I know a lot of people, like we talked about the other day, it freaks people out, the little dolls and everything. And but I think that they've made it so cute. And there's that style and the flair that Mary Blair brought to it. Alice in Wonderland, all the things that she was, you know, created and the colors, and she was just great at what she did. And that's just history there that we had at the parks, you know, Walt Disney was involved in. And there was other Imagineers that were very much involved with all of it. So, I mean, that's just an iconic ride that we need to keep. And it's unique. It's unique from Walt Disney World. If you go look at Walt Disney World's queue, it's so boring. It lets you down so bad. And then you see Disneyland's and you're like, thank you. I'm glad.
They don't have a clock? They don't have a clock at Walt Disney World?
No, it's so boring. No. Oh. No. Next time I'm going to have to, I'll take a picture. We'll add it on the Instagram. I'll take a picture or a video of it so you can see what it looks like on the outside. Yeah. It is so disappointing. Especially when you see the Disneyland one, you'll see a big difference.
I mean, of course, that one wasn't at the World's Fair. The Disneyland one was. So
exactly. So yeah, there's so much to that one. And then we did that. That was pretty much our last day and it was so much fun doing that. We stayed later. We went to Lamplight Lounge that afternoon. I tried a few drinks that were unique. They were on the secret menu. So take a look up the secret menu. I tried the Magical Maiden. That's got rum, mango, tajin. And then the other one I tried was the Zombie, has coconut rum, light and dark rum, pineapple juice, orange juice, some grenadine. It's a really great drink. It's got great colors. It's tasty. And then we had also the nachos. The nachos were really good. Oh. Yeah, so I like those.
So out of those two drinks, which one did you like better?
I feel like I liked the Zombie.
Yeah.
I think the Zombie was better. I like coconut and pineapple.
Oh, I see. Okay.
I like those drinks. I like both of them. I like mango too. So, but I still think like the Zombie. And the Zombie had like the pretty colors.
Oh, yeah. I know. That one was that was a good one.
Yeah. And
then, is your nachos lobster or do you substitute?
No. So they, if you do like on the outside area, you don't have to do the lobster nachos. We have had the lobster nachos. I don't think they're that great anymore. They were much better before. And so they had beef ones.
Oh, nice.
So we tried the beef ones and we were very happy. I think I like those better. So Grand Californian used to have these nachos. They were beef nachos. They were more like a carne asada nacho. They were like piece chunks of meat. Mm-hmm. And now they have at Craftsman Bar, they have like a shredded one. And mm-hmm. so I am not as crazy about them as what they used to have before. I like love them. And mm-hmm. the shredded beef, and I've tried the chicken, and still I think it's whatever they're seasoning the meat with. So I think Black Light Lounge might be my new favorite for nachos.
Nice.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. And usually we do, just like you, we do the brunch. I prefer mm-hmm. to do the brunch because those chilaquiles and some of the other foods are delicious. Yes.
Exactly.
Mm-hmm. And having a mimosa, that's light one. That's mm-hmm. great. We really enjoy that one. So we just thought, you know what? It's crowded. It was Sunday. Mm-hmm. I think you kind of said you might have experienced the same type of thing. Sundays just had crazy crowds. It was it was packed.
Yeah.
And so we kind of just needed a break from everybody. And so we went over to Lamplight Lounge and it was really nice. We were able to get in. It didn't take us very long.
Perfect. Yeah, everybody's too busy doing food and wine. They don't. Lamplight's the last thing on their list.
Yeah. It still was like a 40 minute
wait. You had to wait 30 like minutes? That. Okay. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't have to wait that long, but yeah.
Yeah, you didn't have to. Oh, that's good. We didn't have reservations. We just did it. And
No, they don't do them anymore. Or they do, but like not the walk-up ones. You literally have to walk up to the cast member now. They don't let you do the like, the ones on the app where you're like near the restaurant and you're like, I want to walk up. They don't do that. You have to actually go to the cast member.
Well, that's what I did.
Other than their regular.
Oh, yeah. I did the one on the app. That's how I did it.
You did? Mm-hmm. Oh, for boardwalk. Okay.
For the boardwalk part and for Lamplight. So yeah, I was able to do that. So the only downside to that one too at Lamplight, the boardwalk part, there is no dessert.
Oh yeah.
So it's like, wah, wah, wah. Ooh. There's no dessert. Yeah. So they do need to bring some type of dessert. That would be great. Mm-hmm. So that's the downside of that one. But I did go to Cozy Cone and I had my ice cream. I love their ice cream. Have you tried it?
No, my kids have. I've watched them eat a Cozy Cone.
Oh, I love their ice cream. I don't know. It's simple. It's not heavy. It's just perfect. Mm-hmm. I wish they would bring the toppings back again. It was supposedly a COVID thing that they didn't have the toppings for a while. Now we don't seem to have that problem with COVID anymore. The parks are full again and they still haven't brought back my toppings. And my favorite topping was the road dirt. So it was like Oreo crumbles and they would put that all over and that's amazing.
So cool. Mm-hmm. I love that. That's so cute.
Yeah. So I wanted my road dirt to come back.
Yeah.
Disney,
can you hear us?
Yes. Please bring back the road dirt. I really want it so bad. It would be so great. My ice cream would be complete. Then I could take another cute picture in front of the Cozy Cone sign there with my ice cream with road dirt on it.
Yeah. I wish that for you.
Yes. I'm an ice cream person. That is my dessert of choice is ice cream. So I'm always trying a new ice cream somewhere.
Nice.
But this time I did try some desserts that I normally have don't do too often. Mm-hmm. I usually just stick to like a plain churro. But mm-hmm. I did go to Churros near Goofy Sky School and I tried the spice shortbread churro. And that was delicious. I loved it. And you dipped it in that spiced shortbread sauce that sauce was really good. It just had a great combination. I tried that while my husband was in line at the beer garden area there to get some beer. And then I also tried that night after we did Soaring, I tried the Willy's Churros at Buena Vista Street. They're butterscotch banana churros.
Oh.
And it was really good. It was different. The butterscotch, I wouldn't put it number one on my list. I believe the shortbread one is much better. And you know they have like a s'mores one, and I didn't try that one. Did you get to try that one? Mm-hmm. Yeah, how was it?
I tried the s'mores one. It was good. It was very good. I really enjoyed it.
Okay, so I'm going to have to try that.
Yeah, hopefully they bring it back.
Yeah, yes. What I didn't try this trip was a beignet. Usually I could go and stop and get some beignets. But we didn't walk into Disneyland a whole lot this trip. This trip was more focused on Food and Wine Festival. So the only thing we did do is Great Moments of Mr. Lincoln.
Nice.
That was something we did do. And that's another nice history of Disney there. That it was Walt Disney's, you know, favorite president. And it just has so much history right there, you know, that you see. And they have nice pictures of Disneyland and some of the, you know, things that they the expansion. And then I remember it has the Dumbo from the live action there, like a statue as you walk in. So you get to see all these, you know, neat things that are that have happened at Disneyland throughout the years. And then going in there, we talked to a cast member and she was awesome. Her name was Kelly. Now that I remember, it clicked on. And she really talked about the recording of and how the animatronic worked. And she was saying that this recording was in 2009. It was the old recording that they brought back. They had fixed, they had done the previous recording, and that one was very edited. They edited it a lot. And with this one, she said, you hear more of the talking with them, you know, and the stops and stuff. So this one is more realistic. So it was nice to hear. So she said, go sit in the front row. At least the first two rows, you can really hear the difference. And yeah, you could really hear it if you really paid attention.
Wow, that's so neat. Did she say whose voice it was?
She did. Now,
I'm curious to know who voices Abe Lincoln. And I should have asked, but I thought of this after I watched it.
Royal Dano is voiced.
What an honor.
Yes. So sitting in there, that is another piece that I think everyone needs to go and experience and see when they get into the park. It's right to your right-hand side. We usually start to our left. I don't know why. We always go to our left-hand side. But this time we went to our right. We went into Disneyana and then we went to see that. I think there was a parade happening when we walked in. So it kind of got busy. Another thing I did get to do on my way out, I love this. It's different from Walt Disney World, is that the characters are out and they're not being babysat a whole lot. Mm-hmm. And so Aurora was out as we're walking back out of the park. She was up in the front. So everybody started getting in line to see her. And so we got a nice picture with her.
That's awesome. Mm-hmm. I have never seen Aurora in front, but I have seen Belle.
Oh, Belle. Oh, my mom would have loved that. Yeah, Belle's awesome.
And it's the blue Belle, not the like gold dress Belle. It'll be like the blue and the apron.
Ooh, I love that. Mm-hmm. We did that one at Walt Disney World. We went and got in line. It was a long line. And we had the blue Belle. And my mom was disappointed. She goes, I wanted the gold dress. I wanted that yellow dress. And you know, we always go in for my mom, we do the Be Our Guest at Walt Disney World. It feels like when you go into the castle, if you've ever gone to Walt Disney World, you've done Be Our Guest, it's amazing. It's if you're a big Beauty and the Beast fan, you need to do it at least once. The food is not as good as it used to be, but you know, it can change. Hopefully it's more for the experience, and the Beast walks around, but you don't get Belle. I wish you would get Belle. Every time we've gone, it's always the Beast. So it would be nice to also get Belle in there, and, you know, get pictures. We've done pictures with the Beast before. He's walked around. The last trip we did, he kind of would walk past us really quickly. If you ever get to eat there, we've eaten in the West Wing. We've had, we've also eaten in the main like palace area. And then we've eaten in all three spots in Be Our Guest. And then there was another area that we ate at. It's like the library maybe, or I don't even know if it's the library, because they have Belle and the Beast dancing in the middle, like a figurine, and have a bunch of pictures. Forget what that room is called, but it's very pretty. So it's a must. So if you ever go back to Walt Disney World and you're a big Beauty and the Beast fan, you need to do it.
Yeah, definitely. That sounds awesome. So since you've gone to Disneyland probably as long as I have, do you remember Ariel's Grotto?
Yes. Yes, I used to love going to Ariel's Grotto.
Yeah, you can meet Belle in her gold dress there. And so we had met Belle in her gold dress at Ariel's Grotto.
I do miss that. You know, that was a different change. I mean, I love the Pixar. I love Up. I love a lot of those Pixar characters and the things that they have there. But yeah, I kind of do miss a little bit of the Ariel's Grotto or having that character breakfast. They do have the princess breakfast at Grand Californian Napa Rose. And that is on my bucket list to do.
Mine too.
We need to like book it together and go do.
I think we need to, because it's not fair. I don't have any girls to go with me.
And I don't have kids.
I have no excuse.
Yes, I have no kids, so I would love to go. I can go, probably get dressed up. I think it would be so much fun to do the breakfast and then see all the princesses. Oh, that's just like, that's up there.
Mm-hmm. I just like the whole tea service thing just makes me happy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I kept looking one of the last trips we were there and they had openings and I'm like, I want to go do the princess breakfast.
I know.
I want to be with the princesses.
Me too.
So yeah, I really want to do that one. So yeah, that was pretty much our trip.
Your weekend,
Our weekend. I'm looking forward to catching some other stuff that I didn't catch when I go in a few weeks. But this time it'll be without my husband. We're taking, I'm going with our friends, a really good friend of ours, their daughter's going and her boyfriend's going and a few other friends. So she asked me to come along. Her mom's like, I'll feel more comfortable if, you know, you get, you know, that she calls me her aunt. So she's like, I'll just feel more comfortable if you go. So I'm going to go. I'm going to go and have like a different kind of trip. I'm going to be with young kids. I feel like I can't believe I'm calling them young kids. Brings out my age more. You know, it'll be something different. It'll be a different trip. And this is going to be her second visit to the Disneyland parks. She's never been to California Adventure. So she's going to get to see that too. So that's going to be pretty exciting to see what she thinks of it.
Yeah, that's so awesome. I love being able to take people through places they haven't been through before, even though, like with my brother, even though he's been to Disneyland many times, there's so many things he hadn't seen before. So taking him through there was just so much fun.
Yeah. So what was the new things that he got to try? I don't know if I caught everything. Was there something?
So he had never seen Galaxy's Edge, and us being big Star Wars people, that was amazing. And then he got to see Avengers Campus, which he had never seen before as well. But I didn't get to go with him there. So I got to experience Galaxy's Edge with him, but he was off by himself when he saw Avengers Campus. So,
okay. So Galaxy's Edge is exactly the same at Walt Disney World. Did you get to do it when they did like the pre thing where you could have the bands and they would give you like a wristband? And they would allow you to go on there. You got to get in the Millennium Falcon when they like open it. Like it was the soft opening. Did you get to do that?
No, I didn't. Unfortunately, I didn't have a trip that year. I didn't get to see it for the first time until after COVID when I became, well, not even after, like think right before I became a Magic Key holder, we had a family trip in May that we booked as soon as you were able to get tickets to Disneyland when COVID was over. I bought tickets for my entire family and we went in May. And that was the first time that we had ever seen Galaxy's Edge.
Oh, wow. Okay, so yeah, you really got to experience it, you know, for the first time and with everything. So that was nice that you got to also do probably Rise of the Resistance, mm-hmm. the Millennium Falcon. So we got to do that soft opening that Disney had. I remember we were at Walt Disney World when they were opening it up for, you know, you had to get on the queue and get it and everything. Yeah. So I was able to get my husband and I in, my like my parents, we got to experience it. Jordan, who's, you know, the CP at Walt Disney World now, she got to experience that with us. And then we had some other friends that they're also a Star Wars fan. They had young kids. And so I got them in too. I was able to get us all in. Nice. So we all got to experience it. So it was really nice. I like Star Wars. I wouldn't consider myself a Star Wars fan or a big nerd. I mean, I do know some of the characters. I still have to be schooled on some of the other characters or some of the other terms. I have a coworker that really loves Star Wars. So if I have questions, I ask her, what is this? Because I have no idea. So she's always like explaining to me what things are. But it was neat. And doing Rise of the Resistance, I did that by myself at Walt Disney World. That I had to do it by myself. It was when they were, they would make you run. And so if you've done Walt Disney World, if you're staying at a resort, you have to get on a bus, hope your bus gets you on, and you had to get in there before the park opened, be clocked in and just waiting in the front, basically. Mm-hmm. And you're on the app trying to get into that queue. And so Dan was like, not about to get up. He's like, I'm on vacation. I'm not going to go do this. And I said, well, I want to experience Rise of the Resistance. Everybody keeps talking about this ride. So I ran and got ready. I did it. And everybody that knows me knows that I am not a morning person. So I actually did this and I got on, I got a queue. I got in there. I can't remember what number I was. And I was in line by myself the whole time for Rise of the Resistance. So I'm like, this is so weird. I'm by myself, because he's like, I'm not doing it. And I couldn't get him up and on because you had to scan him. He had to be scanned into the park too in order to get it. So that was kind of the bummer. I couldn't do it. And I love that change that Disney did where you don't have to be in the park anymore. You can just do it from wherever, your home, you know, hotel. So that's nice. But now so it's so much better. But yeah, I got to do Rise of the Resistance by myself. And I do have to say the role playing at Walt Disney World is actually better than the role playing at Disneyland.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. They did a much better job at the role playing. It was more realistic. So nice. Yeah, even Dan finally tried it later on another trip, and he even said we've done both. And he said, yeah, the role playing is much better at Walt Disney World. And I would think that, you know, California would have better role playing.
Yeah, that's interesting. Wow. And so you not being a Star Wars person per se, what do you think about the ride then?
I love it. I think that is such a unique ride. Really nothing like it until I think Ratatouille, I think, would be the closest one to it. It's kind of got that trackless system. And now Mickey Minnie's Runaway Railway has that same trackless system going on. But it's so unique. If you are a big Star Wars fan, you're just so immersed in everything. Mm-hmm. It's amazing just to be immersed in that whole thing. So,
You're part of the universe at that point. As soon as you stand in that queue, you're in it.
And yes.
I love that. It's so awesome.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And my coworker still has not experienced it, which I'm like, you're a big Star Wars fan. How have you not experienced it? I go, you need to go. You need to go to Disneyland and you need to experience that. That's like a must. You've got to do this. Yeah. So hopefully when you do your Star Wars night in a few weeks, you're going to get to experience it again.
I hope so.
Yeah.
I really hope so. Yeah.
Yeah. So that'll be fun. We have some nice trips to talk about in the future.
We do.
So we'll have a lot more hopefully to share with other people. Yeah.
So that's it for this trip recap. So like we mentioned, in 2 weeks, we will talk about my solo trip to Disneyland, which was the weekend after Emily was there. And I think we talked about this a little bit. The crowds were pretty heavy both weekends, which I found very interesting. I thought for sure the second weekend would kind of lighten up, but there was no lightness to the crowds at mm-hmm. all. It was pretty heavy.
Yes, that's for sure. So plan your trip around, you know, Monday through Saturday seems like it's much better. I don't know what's going on with Sundays, but they are packed. Yeah. And like I said, again, I do travel planning. I can help you plan your vacation. I also can plan your vacation to Universal Studios. We don't charge an extra fee. Disney pays us. And we even take care of your dining and your any excursions or tours. We take care of all those fun things for you. And so hopefully you can plan some vacations for you, Steph. Yeah. Maybe Walt Disney World or a Disney cruise. That would be so much fun.
Absolutely. So yeah, be sure to get a hold of Emily so that she can help you plan and make everything just seamless for you. So if they need to get a hold of you, Emily, how do they get a hold of you?
So I have my Instagram. It's called Emily's Disney Adventure. And so you just click on that link. You'll be able to get a hold of me that way in my link. Concierge, you can request me. So there's a lot of different ways to find me on social media, or send me a DM and I'll be happy to help you plan your next Disney vacation.
Absolutely. And we will definitely link it in the show notes as well in case you guys need a little more help trying to find Emily. So don't forget to also follow me, Magic Key Adventures. So it's magic_key_adventures. And you can also email both me and Emily at magickeyadventures@yahoo.com. Ask us questions. If you want to get a hold of Emily through there as well, we can definitely arrange that for you too. Don't forget to subscribe, rate, and review. So this is Emily's first episode, so be sure to come back and listen to us banter on about our trips and give us a rate and review. We'd really appreciate that so that people can find us and be able to hear all about our trips. That way it can help them as well on their next trip, because when you do a trip recap, it kind of gives you an idea of what's going on at the parks at the time, so that when you plan your trip, you kind of know what's going on and how the crowds are and, you know, what activities are going on. So be sure to subscribe, rate, and review.
Thank you.
Thanks, guys. I hope you all have an adventurous day. Bye.